Jesus said, I will build my church. We have the first mention of the word church in that passage from Matthew chapter 16. And in our statement of faith, we say, we believe in the church, a living spiritual body of which Christ is the head, of which all regenerated people are members. We believe that a local church is a company of believers in Jesus Christ, immersed upon a credible confession of faith and associated for worship, work, and fellowship. We believe that God has laid hold upon the members of the local church the primary task of giving the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world. It is His church. Last week we saw the nature of the church. We saw that the church is a building. And so many people in our culture today say, oh, I go to the church at the corner of Route 2 and 22. The church building is sometimes referred to, or a lot of times it's referred to as a church. But the church is also an organization. We need to organize as a church. In fact, Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let all things be done decently and in order. And so we need to take that to heart as well and have a structure for the church, an organization. But the church is also an organism with Christ as the head. We are a living, breathing group of people joined together to serve Jesus Christ. Now Jesus said, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And again, this is from Matthew 16. And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. So last week we also saw the images God cast concerning the church that he would build and how they reflected his relationship to the church. That the church is the body of Christ shows the lordship of Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. The fact that they use the image of the bride shows the love of Christ, that Jesus is the heart of the church. And that they use the image of the building of Christ, that Jesus is at home in the church. And that might be a little bit different than what you expected, because so many people talk about Jesus being the foundation. He is literally the cornerstone of our faith and of our church. And the cornerstone is that one stone that everything is measured against to make sure that the structure is right. The foundation is in the prophets and is based on the Word of God. And so the importance of His Word. Jesus said, I will build my church. In a class with Elmer Towns years ago, he said, I will build my kind of church. So that's a process of Him building us and continuing to build us as His church. But we know that the church cannot exist without the presence of Jesus Christ. And we know that the church will not be the church without Jesus Christ. So we take him literally. We take it to heart when Jesus says, I will build my church. He is the one who is building the church. And for years I've heard preachers proclaim, this church is not your church. This church belongs to Jesus. This is his church. You are, however, all members of it. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So we are part of this body of Christ. He is our head. We are the body, the church. He goes on to say in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verse 27, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And he was talking to the church at Corinth. So we can draw from these facts that without Jesus Christ, the church is not the church. The church is just a group of people. Jesus said, I will build my church. But the title of the message this morning is, I will build my church. Because I am a member of this body. And I don't think that it's improper for us to say, this is my church. This is the group of people that I'm associated with. And we worship and we work and we fellowship together, as our statement of faith says, as his church. His church and my church. We know that only Jesus Christ can build his church. But at the same time, we know that he wants to use us to build his church. But there are a number of themes running through the NFL this year, which I found very interesting. Part of it was that they should be universal to every one of the teams. And yet it seemed like one team took credit for coming up with this little slogan or this little motivational thing that they used. And one of the popular phrases now is, we want to finish strong. And those two words, finish strong, seem to be an important logo in the NFL and for one particular team. I don't think they finished strong enough last week, but that was what they wanted to do. And that's what we should want to do as a church. We should want to finish strong. To be the kind of church and to do the kind of things that God wants his church to be doing. Paul would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7. And it's interesting how many times Paul used these athletic analogies. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So important for us as we build the church to keep the faith that God has given to us. It used to be one of those phrases that we would toss around all, well, keep the faith. You know, and I didn't realize that it hadn't gone to my kids' culture. And I took a little ad out in one of their yearbooks. It said, keep the faith. And it said, why in the world would you put something like that in my yearbook? I said, well, it's just a common thing that we used to have, keep the faith. And that's what Paul would say to Timothy. Another phrase that I think did come from the New England Patriots was next man up. Because if you followed them at all this season, it seemed like every game somebody was getting hurt, not just one of the peripheral players, but one of the key players. And so their catchphrase was next man up. You know, the guy who was on the practice squad or the guy that was in the reserves would come up, and then they would start looking for other players to take his place. But we never know when someone in the church is not going to be able to do what they've been doing. I almost felt that way with the solo I had during the choir number. My voice is a little funny this morning, and I thought, boy, at the end when all the men joined me and we were singing together, that would have been good through the whole song. Could have made that quick change. It was powerful. But you never want to lose anyone for any reason, but sometimes that happens. But on top of that is that we should always be training disciples, as Paul would train Timothy and Titus. Peter and Barnabas would have John Mark and different people that they would be training in ministry. We should always be training people to do the work that God has called us to. Statistics show that 80% of the work of the church is done by 20% of the people in any given church, in any given denomination. What that means is that we are understaffed and underserved in many areas of church life. I remember in the 70s reading a book by Frank Tillipaw called Unleashing the Church. And I thought that was such a powerful title and a powerful philosophy. To be able to say to people in the church, what has God gifted you? What talent do you have that can be used for God's honor and for His glory? In too many churches, the power is centralized, and those who have the power fight hard to keep the power they have. And this marginalized the average church member who came to think that the main reason for attending the church was to be entertained and, of course, to help pay the bills. That's not what God wants. He wants us all involved in ministry. What the leadership of the church didn't realize is that the most valuable asset that the church has are the people who come, who are gifted and who are inspired by the Holy Spirit. We need to continue to unleash people into the ministry that God has gifted and called them to do. 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14 are all about the church and the use and misuse of spiritual gifts. It's interesting that between them is chapter 13, the love chapter, and how important it is for us to love each other as we use our spiritual gifts. So the church should be a place where loved and loving people are free to use their God-given gift as directed by the Holy Spirit. So again, we're looking at the church last week from the perspective that this is Christ's church. This week we're seeing that I'm a part of that church. And so it's my church too. And it's not wrong to say this church is my church. And I have a vision for this church. I have an idea about what God wants us to do as a church. And I'm not only saying that as a pastor, but each one of you, God has gifted and God has placed within this body, and you have a purpose for being here. We should have a vision for this church to realize why we've been put and how I fit into this body of believers. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Quite a while ago, I read a book by Gordon MacDonald. I don't even remember what the name of the book was at this time. But I remember one thing that he said. He was a pastor outside of Boston. He was not only a pastor, but he was also a motivational speaker, and different companies would have him come in to inspire their people. So one day he went to meet with the CEO of a company in the Boston area, and he sat down with him and he was talking to him about vision. And the man said, "We don't really have a problem with vision." He said, "I can tell you the vision for our company." And he shared the vision of the company. And he said, "As CEO, this is my part. This is the part I play in the vision of our company." And so he said to him, also, you could ask anyone who works here what the vision of the company is and how they fit into it, and they'll be able to tell you. And so as Gordon went out from his office, he stopped by the desk of his assistant. And he said to her, could you tell me what is the vision of this company? And verbatim, she told him the exact same vision that the CEO had for the company. And then she went on to say, and this is how I fulfill the vision of this company. So he was rather pleased, and he started walking down the corridor toward the exit where there was a man sweeping the floor. And so he said, I'm sure I'm going to get this one. So he said, can you tell me the vision of this company? And verbatim, the custodian told him the exact vision that the CEO and his assistant had given for that same question. And he said, and this is how I help fulfill the vision of this company. Of course, McDonald's idea was that we as a church should have that same connection to the vision that God has given to us. We should know why God has put us here and the part that we play, and have the vision to plug people in where God has gifted and inspired them. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia and literally means called out ones. We as people have been called by the Lord into this church. He calls us out of the world and he calls us into the church. It's kind of a double calling. Called out from worldliness, called out from the general population to make us special. So we've been called out from the general population of the world, and we've been called together to fulfill the purpose of God for our lives and for this church. So we need to commit ourselves to discovering the purpose God has for us. We have to ask ourselves if we are involved in the ministries that benefit the church. How do they benefit the church? And is this ministry a ministry that God wants to bless? We talked about the anointed ministries of the past. The door-to-door visitation, if you remember, from the turn of last century to the 50s. Busing in the 50s and the 60s. All the way up through worship and praise that we have today. The anointed ministries. How does God work? Through media, through small groups. You know, how does God want us to work? With limited resources, limited people. Are we using everyone to the best of their ability? So often, the ministries that we have tend to be maintenance ministries. And a lot of times I fall into that pattern myself. You know, if someone were to say, are you an aggressive leader? You know, what is the leader that most benefits churches today? And church growth experts would say, a benevolent dictator. That's not me. It's not my personality. I'm more maintenance ministry. I'm more of a plotter, you know, to get things done, to just keep working, to see a need and fill the need. But we do need vision. We need to say, this is how we are going to fulfill the call of God for our church. It would be nice if our annual meeting was not just kind of looking back on what we've accomplished this year, and you look through the annual report and say, well, seems like we survived. But to be able to look ahead and say, this is what we intend to do in the coming year. to sit down with the finances and say, well, we kind of met our financial obligations. We haven't done a lot of extra things this year that we could have done, you know. But to sit down and dream about what would it be like if God provided an extra $100,000 in our church budget this year. What would it be like if God provided us with an extra $1 million in our budget this year? How would we? Would God be able to bless us with those kinds of funds? Or would it tear us apart as it does some churches? What is the vision that God has given to us? Well, the rest of this week, I'm going to be pretty busy putting together the annual report. So I think I'm going to preach again on the church next week. So the last week, the church as the body of Christ. I will build my church. This week, as we thought about the church, and it's my church, to take it personally and say, this is my church. You know, the attitude that I see, well, you can see it in the ushers with the kids helping out, you know, wanting to participate in our worship. So that's the kind of attitude that we're thinking about this morning. This is my church. And whether or not I've been here 10 months, 10 years, 70 years, however long it's been, this is my church. And God's put me here for a purpose. And if I haven't found that purpose yet, I'm going to find it. Well, next week, let's look at the church as the Holy Spirit's church. Because He inspires and He empowers and He gifts us to do His work. But I'd like you to think about it. Some of you are a part of the 20% and you're tired. Some of you are part of the 80% that does 20% of the work and you need another job. So I want you to think about it this week. Think about what God would have you do. And then the following week, after we speak on the Holy Spirit, we think about the Holy Spirit and His work in the church. Let's get together and talk about what you'd like to do in the church. Let's pray. Our Father, we realize that this church is your church. Without you, we have no hope. Without you, we have no vision. But with you, we have everything we need to be your kind of church. So I pray, Lord, that you would unleash the church. That those of us who are in leadership might not stand in the way of those who wish to serve you here. But that we might counsel and help people find the place that you have for them. That we might be the church that you intend us to be. That we might fulfill your vision. We thank you, Lord, for those who have dedicated their lives to this church. We thank you, Lord, for those who will dedicate their lives to this church. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to be the church that you want us to be. We thank you, Lord, for all of the good things that we do here in these buildings. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you continue to do in our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that we might serve you wholeheartedly. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.